Jesus' name. Amen. If you have your Bibles, I want to invite you to turn to Romans 8. Romans 8. So good for Sherlyn and I to be here with you today at Abounding Grace Christian Church. It was great to, like Sherlyn said, get to know your pastors, Jay and Pam, last night. And I'm sure we don't know everything about them, but a little bit. And it's always great to see what God is doing in churches around our region. I serve as the Rhema Ministerial Association Regional Director of the Northeast Region, which is Region 14. We have 17 regions in the United States, and the Northeast Region consists of Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York, and all of New England. We have about 165 ministers, including Jay and Pam here, throughout that region that we try to help and try to be there for them as much as we can. Of course, as a regional director, I'm also a pastor of a church, and I don't have as much time as I'd like to give to my responsibilities as regional director. But anyway, we're glad to be here, and we're glad to serve in that capacity. And it's our privilege to be here today with you and to share the Word of God. I'd like to talk today about, I'm not going to talk about Palm Sunday. Sorry about that. But you can pick up that palm on the way out and be reminded on your way home. But it's all the Word of God. And I want to talk today about God's whispers in our life. And it's another way to say I want to encourage us to be led by the Spirit. I think we're living in a day when all of us need to obey God's leadings in our lives. There's a harvest to reach. There's things to do. And there's things probably many of you have in your heart and you've never stepped out. But you know God's talking to you about it, but you've never done it. And many of you have and are fulfilled because of it. And so I'm praying that this time that we have, these few minutes, would encourage us to be alert to what God is saying to us. In Romans chapter 8, in verse 10, I'm reading from the New King James, and it says, "If Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his Spirit who dwells in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you do not receive the spirit of you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption, by whom we cry out, Abba, Father, or Daddy. The Spirit himself bears witness or affirms with our spirit that we are children of God." Aren't you glad you're a child of God today? It's good to know that we're a child of God. I don't know about you, but when I gave my life to Christ, something on the inside here affirmed, bore witness, affirmed that I was a child of God, which before I wasn't. I didn't get it saved till I was 24 years old, and I was not living a very godly life. Totally the opposite for some years. But what I wanted to point out here as we take these couple minutes is, I wanted you to notice, and I know you know this. Probably most of the things I say this morning, you've already heard lots of times. But that's all right. We need to be encouraged in these things over and over again. At least I do. I don't know about you. Maybe you can hear it once and you just never need to hear it again. That's not the way it is with me. I need to hear it again over and over and over again and be encouraged. But I wanted us to see that the Spirit of God resides or dwells in us. He dwells in us. And so he dwells in there to lead us. And so if we're going to hear him, we have to listen to the inside. So who and what leads your life? What leads our life? There are many things demanding our attention today. Many things. Is there a sense of God leading our lives, or is everything else crowding out the one who desires and longs to speak to us? Because God is our Father. We are his son or his daughter. And it's a father-child relationship. I have four kids. They're all grown now. They're all grown now. The oldest, I have a daughter that's 40. And I have a second daughter that's 38. And I have a son that's 33. I have one son in heaven who would be 38 if he's be alive today. I don't know how that goes up there. But anyway, looking forward to seeing him someday. He died as a 16-month-old child. He was hit by a vehicle and died because of it in 1974. It was a dark time for us. We'd just been had just recently been baptized in the Holy Spirit and had just gotten into the things of God, and boom, that came. And but anyway, I love that father-son, father-daughter relationship that I have with my children. And I love to give them guidance. I'd love to give them more guidance than they receive sometimes. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Later on, they'll come and say, well, we should have listened to you, you know, Dad. But I have a good relationship with them and all of them, and I'm very thankful for that. So is there a day-to-day sensitivity and thought toward the one who resides inside of us? What if we could hear from heaven as we navigate life on earth? I believe we can. I believe we can. The Holy Spirit resides in our spirit to lead us in life. Here's another scripture, a couple of scriptures just for a foundation here. In Proverbs 20 and 27, a very interesting scripture. It says, The spirit of man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. The spirit of a man is the lamp of the Lord, searching all the inner depths of his heart. One in the middle column of my Bible says all the rooms of the belly. Somebody asked me one time, where do you think the spirit is, our spirit? I said, somewhere in the belly, I think. Because when it talks about the Holy Spirit, when it talks about the spirit of man being the lamp of the Lord, searching all the rooms of the belly. So evidently down in there in the core of our being is where our spirit man is. And the Holy Spirit lives in there. He lives in there to empower us. He lives in there to speak to us. He lives in there to guide us in life. We don't ever have to feel like we're alone because he's right there all the time. We don't have to beg him to come. We don't have to even pray for him to come. He's always right there. He's there to help us pray. Amen. Are you here this morning? And then in Psalm 32, let's look at something there. Psalm 32. In verse 8, it says, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I love the way that says in the New Living Translation. I don't have the New Living Translation with me. But it talks about, I will lead you in the best pathway for your life. Did you know that God has your best in his mind? And he will try to lead us to where his best will be experienced in our life. So he says here, he says, I will guide you, I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will guide you with my eye. Do not be like the horse or like the mule, which have no understanding, which must be harnessed with bit and bridle, else they will not come near you. I know a little bit about that ninth verse because being raised in the Amish tradition, I worked with mules in the field. And I remember sometimes I would have a 6-mule team. And we had an old pair of mules called Dick and Pete. No offense if your name is Dick or Pete. I'm not calling you a mule. I'm just saying that was the name of our mules. And they were the best in town. And any time that we would want to hook up a young mule or train a young mule, we'd hook it up to hook them up to Dick and Pete with a, what you call a jockey iron. And I remember one mule we had, his name was Mike. No offense if your name's Mike. But he was a wild one. And but I liked him. I really liked him, but he was wild. He would kick and snort and carry on anytime we try to hook him up. So we'd always hook him up to Dick and Pete. See, God says we're not supposed to be like that. That's why I'm saying these things. He says we're not supposed to be like that. We're supposed to be the kind of people that are easily led by Him.
Yeah, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
We're supposed to be pliable. Delight ourselves in the Lord. The word delight means be pliable.
Yeah.
Be pliable. So we're supposed to be, you know, quick to listen.
Yes.
Quick to obey. But anyway, Mike. So we'd hook him up and he'd always hang behind the other mules. They'd be up here and he'd be back here. So finally we said, okay. Then he'd just hang back there and act like, you know. So we hooked him up real tight so that even if he was back here, he was pulling the same load. He didn't know it. He thought he wasn't, but he was. You know. And then he'd kick and carry on. We'd have to watch ourselves so we wouldn't get hurt. But I liked Mike. I guess I liked him because I was that way. I don't know. You know, I was just really rebellious when I was a young boy. I was a partier, and I was out there, way out there. It's too long a story to tell you this morning. But I loved Mike, and then one morning came out to the horse stable, and Mike was laying down in his stall dead. I cried because I liked Mike. When I was about 14 years old, my dad bought me a pony. It wasn't a little pony, but it wasn't as big as a horse. But in between, I guess they called him a three-quarter horse. Not a quarter horse, but a three-quarter horse. You know, there's a quarter horse, there's a horse, there's a pony, and there's a three-quarter horse. This was a three-quarter horse, and it looked like Michael Landa's horse in Bonanza. That's what it looked like. I loved Silver, was his name. I loved him, and I rode him, you know. And we didn't have a telephone back then, because Amish people didn't have a telephone, but we were allowed to use a public telephone. So whenever we need to make a telephone call, my dad would say, Samuel, get on Silver and go make this call over in this public telephone booth. So I'd ride Silver over there and we'd just go. I mean, he could go like the wind and make that telephone call. And I couldn't wait until it was time to make a telephone call. But the thing about Silver, he was also stubborn. He's also like me. And sometimes he'd put the bit between his teeth like this. And I'd pull back, and he'd just put his head down and just go and throw me off and go over a bump and just throw me off. So tick me off. I'd get him, and I'd have to walk home, you know, about half of the way, and there he'd be standing in the forebay of the barn. Just looking at me. And so I thought, how am I going to handle it? See, we're not, this reason I'm telling you this, it all goes with the sermon here. We're not supposed to be like that. We're not supposed to be hard-headed with God. So I thought, how am I going to do this? Because I loved him. I didn't want to sell him. And so I found a way to do it. I put what they call a jawbreaker underneath. You hook it up to the bit and put it underneath their chin. And it's a chain. And so when you pull back, it pulls up on his chin. And it gets their attention. And at the same time, though, I started to stroke him in the morning. I'd get out. I'd comb his mane, stroke him down through his back, stroke him. First, when we got him, I don't know if he was abused by somebody before we got him or not. It's very possible. But he'd always be afraid of me. And when he'd see me coming with the bridle, he'd run, and I'd have to run after him. It was a mess trying to get him, especially if we had him out in the field, out in the meadow. But I stroked him. You know, that's what God does to us.
Yeah,
when we're rebellious, he just, I love you. You're my son. You're my daughter. I love you just the way you are.
Yeah.
And I loved him. I loved that Silver pony. And I'd do this every morning. And so after a while, when I'd come out with the bridle, he'd let me walk right up to him. I put the bridle on, and he'd walk in. After a while, I get emotional talking about a pony. That's ridiculous. After a while, when he'd see me coming, he'd come running to me. That's God. That's God. He'd come running to me. And I'd pat him on his side. And he would walk with me to the barn without a bridle. Right here. Right here was his head. And we'd walk to the barn like this. Just like that. And that's what God wants us to do. You thought I left a message. That's what God wants us to do. He wants us to be like that. That he doesn't have to put a bridle and bit on us. Amen. Amen. Let's go to an Old Testament. I'm talking about hearing the whispers of God and encouraging us in that today. That's what I'm talking about. In 1 Kings 19, Elijah. I love the prophet Elijah. I don't know if you've ever read about him. Did all these miracles of God and just a wonderful, powerful man of God. And one day he had this event that happened where he killed 450 prophets of Baal, and I guess he was emotionally spent, and then Jezebel heard about what he did and said, "By tomorrow this time I'm going to kill you." So Elijah, you know, got a little upset and downhearted, but God said to him, if you look at verse 11. You know, Elijah was saying, I'm the only one left serving you. Don't you care about me? And God said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by and said, a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rocks in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord was not in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord was not in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice. In the center of my Bible, it says a delicate whispering voice. A delicate whispering voice. So it was when Elijah heard it that he wrapped his face in his mantle, went out and stood in the entrance of the cave. And suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? And God begins to talk to Elijah about his situation and encourages him and tells him he's not the only one left. There's 7,000 other ones left that haven't bowed to the knee of haven't bowed their knee to Baal and all of that. But I want us to see here that God can whisper to us when we are afraid and discouraged, just like Elijah was here. And I wanted us to see that God's guidance usually does not come in earth-shaking ways, but in a still, small voice, or like it says, a delicate whisper. Are you with me?
Yeah.
Now, another thing I noticed here that really came to my mind as I was studying this. God's whispers come to us when we position ourselves to hear. Because God had to get Elijah's attention and said, I want you to come out to the front of the mountain here. Stand on the mountain here. So in other words, he's saying, Elijah, you need to have ears to hear if you're going to hear me.
Right.
You know, it's a little bit like that time when Jesus, in the book of Revelation, when Jesus was talking to the one church and he was knocking on the door of the church.
Right.
And the church had a do not disturb sign on it, their door.
Yeah.
Do not disturb. We don't want to hear what you have to say. And Jesus said, if you'll open the door, I'll come in and I'll have dinner with you. And he wasn't talking to unsaved people there. He was talking to the church. Knocking on the door of the church. Let that not be so for this church and our church. Let's open the door when he knocks. And let's open our ears. Jesus many times would say, let those that have ears to hear, let them hear. So just because we have ears doesn't mean we hear. So we have to position ourselves to hear. You might say, well, how can we position ourselves to hear today? You know, it needs to be part of our thinking. You know, we've got to be conscious of what God, conscious of the fact that God has a plan and a purpose for my life, for your life, and for me to walk that out, I have to be conscious of that all the time. And hear from Him, hear from heaven, or hear in here, which is a piece of heaven. You understand what I'm saying? Got to position ourselves. We got to bend toward God, so to speak. What does Proverbs 4:20 say? Incline your ear. I know it's talking there about the word, but it still says incline your ear. So there has to be a bending toward. What kind of posture do you have? You know, if a person has this kind of posture, probably not going to tell them a whole lot. But if they sit up, they're inclining toward the speaker, they're attentive, that's how we need to be to God. Amen. A young man had lost his job and didn't know which way to turn. He went to see an old preacher and paced about the preacher's study, ranting about his problem, clenching his fist. He shouted, I've begged God to say something to help me. Tell me, preacher, why doesn't God answer? The old preacher, who sat across the room, spoke something in reply, something so hushed it was indistinguishable. The young man stepped across the room. What did you say? He asked. The preacher repeated himself, but again in a tone as soft, barely audible. So the young man moved closer until he was leaning into the preacher's chair. Sorry, he said, I still didn't hear you. And when their heads bent together, the preacher spoke once more. God sometimes speaks in whispers, so we will move closer to Him. This time, the young man heard. It speaks of relationships. Our relationship with God. Amen? One time, I read this little article that Peter Lord, he was an author, and he says, one evening, a friend visiting Peter Lord's home told him that he could hear no fewer than 18 different kinds of crickets in his garden. Peter was amazed. He'd lived there for years and never heard one. The difference was this man was a professor of entomology, and he learned to distinguish over 200 different cricket calls with his natural ear. Imagine learning to listen to crickets. Looking back, Peter wrote this, I suddenly understood that a person must want to hear. And a person must learn to hear. And that there were many sounds that I was not hearing. Then he goes on to say, think what we've been missing all these years because we haven't wanted to or learned to hear the voice of God speaking to us. I have a little dog. Her name's Buffy. Little Pomeranian poodle mix. It's a little ball of fur. And I'm it for her. When I come home, first thing, she runs around the couch several times, so glad to see me. When we're away from her for a couple of days, like we are now, she'll probably run around the couch five times when I get home. She just loves me. And when I sit on the sofa or my chair, she'll jump up on my lap, and we'll just be there, and I'll stroke her, I'm maybe watching TV or reading a book, and all of a sudden she goes like that. She heard something. I didn't hear anything. And so she calms down. She heard something. Yeah, are you getting my point? Yeah, we have to. Folks, when the Holy Spirit is in our hearts, And when we're leaning into God, we will hear things that other people won't hear. And we will see things that other people don't see. And that's the privilege, that's one of the privileges that we have as believers. Because God lives in here by His Spirit. And He speaks to us. And He guides us in the best pathway for our life. So that we can do the things that He wants us to do. And when God leads us, it always includes the rescuing of people. The ministry to people. Touching people. That little clip we saw today about compassion. You know, it's amazing. I love it when a church has a vision for missions. I didn't get to talk to Jay much about this last night, but that's, you know, we need to be a church that we go outside these four walls. These four walls are important, and it's important what happens in here. We get encouraged in here, and we get built up in here, but really, what's more important, well, I don't know if I should say it's more important, but just as important is what happens when we leave here. What happens? You know, and how we respond when we have opportunities like that and God says, I want you to sponsor a child. You know, do we obey or don't we? So the purpose of this message is to encourage all of us to grow in hearing God's whispers. And to have the guts to obey. To have the guts to obey. I remember as a little boy, about 11 years old, I felt like I was called to preach. I was Amish. Wore the hat and the suspenders and everything. And when we would, I'm the oldest of 12 kids. And so we'd play church. I'd always be the preacher. And one day my grandfather, who lived in the same house and other had his own apartment there, one Sunday afternoon we were playing church and he comes and sits in the congregation with my siblings. And I'm preaching about Daniel in the lion's den. And after I'm finished, he says, Samuel, fly some dog watch to in Brediha. That's not tongues, that's Pennsylvania Dutch. Fly some dog watch to in Brediha. Maybe someday you'll be a preacher. So as I grew, got to the age of 15, 16, I started rebelling. Got out into the party life. And I don't know if you know this or not, but many of the Amish young people are really wild. I don't know if you know much about them or not, but our parties were just as wild as you can imagine. And it's not good. So I was running from this, but every time that I would get drunk, laying in the back seat of someone's car, drunk out of my mind, I'd hear those words. Fly some dog, watch doing Brediha. I couldn't get away from him. So I wanted to go that way, but I didn't. Even when I was 18, I had already left. I wasn't wearing my Amish clothes anymore. I bought a car. And my parents were always a little more liberal. And they allowed me to keep my car at home. And I was never a member of the church. So if you're not a member of the church, you're not ousted as much as you are if you join and then leave. And so one Sunday, my church, you see, the Amish, they host the church. So you build your church in such a way that you take out all the partitions and the only walls that are permanent in your house on the first floor are the load-bearing pillars. So when it's your time to host the church, you take all the walls out. They're movable walls. And you fill it with benches and you have church service. And they have church every 2 weeks. And when you're the one, when you're the person or the place hosting the church, then you are allowed to invite a guest speaker from another district or another church. So it was our turn, and I was 18. I wasn't Amish anymore. And my dad invited this preacher that I loved. So even though I was rebellious, Jay, there was something in me that didn't want to be that way. But I was. And this preacher, I loved him. So I asked my dad, I said, can I come to church? I wasn't dressed Amish anymore. Can I come to church on Sunday? And my dad thought a little bit and he said, well, if you sit in the hallway, because I wasn't going to dress Amish, if you sit in the hallway, you can come. And I sat in the hallway and I could see the preacher right there. And this preacher preached with such passion. Even as a rebellious teenager, I felt it. I couldn't get away from it. He was so passionate. The last 10 minutes of his message, he was on his knees, preaching, tears running down his cheeks, pleading mainly for the young people to live for Christ. I was sitting there. I'm talking about whispers from God. I'm still on the subject. I am a storyteller, though, I must tell you. I hope you don't mind. And so I'm sitting there, and I hear this on the inside, a whisper from God. I wasn't saved. A whisper from God that said, I want you to preach. I want you to be a preacher. And right on the heels of that, surrender your life to me. Never forget it. Those two whispers and what my grandfather said to me haunted me all the way till I was age 24. Cheryl and I got married when I was 21. And we moved to Phoenix, Arizona for 4 years. I got in with the wrong crowd out there. It almost ruined our marriage. We had a little girl by that time. And one day, but I went to church. I would go out and party on a Saturday night, and on Sunday morning I'd be an usher in the church. And I could never figure out why they allowed me to do that. You know, they couldn't help, I mean, to smell my breath. It would have knocked them over. And one day there was a group of young people who came and sang, and there was something different about them. The church we were going was pretty dead, certainly not like this morning. And but something in me caught my attention. And I said to Cheryl, and they were going to be in some other churches that week in the city. So we followed them around for several nights. And every night they'd have an altar call. We didn't have an altar call at our church. And I'd feel this thing. I'd get all sweaty. My hands would sweat and my shirt would get wet. And I'm trying to figure out what is. So Sherilyn one night said, "Why don't I go up with you?" And the whispers of God. So, went up front, little 14-year-old boy that was part of that singing group prayed with me. I was 24. Prayed with me and led me to Christ. Wow. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. Thank God. So, but it was a real thing for me. Our lives got better instantly. I mean, we had to grow, of course, and because we had grown apart. And if something wouldn't have been done, we wouldn't be together today. And a couple years after that, went to Rhema Bible Training Center. And after we were out there, we started our church called Worship Center. And like Jay said when he introduced us, we've been there now for 34 years. The whispers of God. What's God saying to you today? What's He saying to you today? You know, there are certain things when we sense that God is speaking to us, whispering to us, certain filters we need to put it through. First of all, just point blank ask God, is this you? Is what I'm feeling you? Just ask Him that. See what happens. Secondly, does it line up with Scripture? Does it line up with Scripture? You know, God wouldn't lead you to do anything that doesn't line up with His Word. Are you listening to me? You know, I've been a pastor for 34 years, like I said. I've had a lot of people come to me about a lot of things. And I remember one guy came to me and he said, I feel like I'm supposed to have an affair with this other woman. And he was married. And this other woman was married. And he said, this is what he asked me. He said, do you believe, Pastor Sam, that if I do this, and after I've done it, and I ask God to forgive me, will He forgive me? What a sick mind. I didn't answer that question. But I went back to, I said, don't do it. That's where you need to, I'm not going to answer that question. I'm going to tell you that that's not God telling you to do that. Does the whisper line up with Scripture? Number three, is it wise? Is it wise? Book of Proverbs talks much about being wise compared to being a fool. You know, a young couple buying their first house, they like the one that is priced $50,000 above their budget? Probably not wise. Start with a smaller one. A couple comes to the pastor and says they're getting married. The pastor asks how long they've known each other. They say 3 weeks. Probably not wise. Not saying it could never happen, but probably not wise. How long did you say you dated? Just as I was saying that, I remembered what you said last night. 3 months. 3 months, right? But it's worked for you, so. Number four. Filters. God whispers to you. You think it's God. Filters. Is it in tune with who you are? You know, we're all gifted. Like Sherilyn said it before she ministered that song. Is it in tune with who you are? You know, if you can't sing, you probably won't have a singing ministry. You know, is it in tune with who you are? With your giftings? Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, in keeping with his individual gift or bent. Does it go along with your gifting? And number five, what do those you have close relationship with think about it? I think that's something that we miss many times. You know, we kind of think, well, we're, you know, me and Jesus, we got our own thing going. We don't need anybody else. No, that's furthest from the truth. Amen. I have a couple people in my life, pastor friends, four of them actually, that I have told if you ever feel like I'm going the wrong direction, I want you to come talk to me. And I look them right in the eye and I say, will you? Yes, we will, Pastor Sam. I know they would. So especially if it's a life-altering decision that you feel the Holy Spirit's leading you in. You know, there are daily whispers from God. If you said something sharp to your wife before you came to church this morning, there's a whisper that says, say you're sorry. That's from God. That's from God, you know. If you stopped at a convenience store and you're going out to your car, like it happened to me some time ago, and you have this whisper, go in and talk to that guy about the Lord. That's from God. Do it. You know, there are daily kind of things, but then there are life-altering whispers that we really need to have confirmed. And that's what I mean when I... Or if somebody feels like we're getting off track, do you have somebody in your life that'll get you by the coat tail or the shirt tail or whatever and say, hey, I'm just wondering about this decision that you're about to make. So, be open to godly counsel. You know, it's better not to say God told me. You know, I'm not saying he didn't tell you, but if you come to me and say God told me, I probably won't fight that very much. I mean, I probably won't even say anything unless you, if you ask me, what do you think? I might, that's an open door. But if you come to me and say, God told me this or God told me that, I'll probably say, oh man, I'm not going to fight with God.
Right.
So even though it is him, most likely, it's better not, if you want confirmation, if you want input from other people, if you want confirmation for the whisper from God, it's better to say, you know, I sense in my heart to do this. Or I sense to go this direction. What do you think? It's better than say, God told me, because God told me closes the door for counsel many times. Sometimes confirmation can come in supernatural ways. God, you know, God is God. I'm talking about the primary way he speaks to us today, through our spirit. I mean, he can do whatever he wants. He's God. You know, when he wanted to get Paul's attention, a light shone from heaven and he knocked him to the ground. So God can do whatever he wants. I'm just saying that most of us will not have that kind of a whisper from God, if they can call that a whisper. You know what I'm saying? I remember in 1974, after we got baptized in the Holy Spirit, I really started to feel this thing about preaching. But you know, being Amish, I didn't have much education. I'm trying to figure out what do I do? How do I do this? I was at a Full Gospel Businessmen's Breakfast in Washington, D.C. I don't know if any of you know about that ministry that was strong some years ago, Full Gospel Businessmen's. They would have conferences. And so we're sitting at breakfast, and after we had a little break, and I walk out in the hallway, and a guy comes up to me and put his hand on my shoulder, and he starts to prophesy. I never saw this man before, never saw him after. He said, I sense that you're going to be preaching the gospel in other nations. And he prayed a little bit and he went on. I never saw him again. Well, I was struggling with that. I was struggling about ministry, going into ministry. So it was a confirmation. And what he said has come to pass over the last 34 years. You know, so sometimes confirmation, I said that just to say that sometimes confirmation is not only in a whisper. Well, let me say this yet and then I'll close. Sometimes God whispers to us in dark places. All of us go through dark places. Pastor Sam, what do you mean dark places? Well, sometimes we make a choice in life and it gets us in a sinful situation. We get ourselves in a mess. You know, the sin always takes you further than you want to go. And it always causes you to stay longer than you want to stay. And it always costs you more than you can pay. Thank God that Jesus can pay it, and his blood has paid it. But it costs us more than we can pay. Sin. And we get our lives in a mess sometimes because we make some kind of sinful choice. Or maybe you're in a dark place today because you've been through a divorce, or maybe you have an addiction, or... maybe you had a sudden accident or something that happened in your life, and we've all been in dark places. But I'm telling you, if we learn to know the voice of God, yeah. He'll get us right through those things. Because He never leaves us nor forsakes us. No matter what we're going through, He's always there and He always seeks us out. Because the Bible says our names are written on the palm of His hand. And He whispers to us. Cheryl and I have been through some dark places in our life. I remember in 1974, on an October evening, sitting in the hallway of a hospital. Not in a waiting room, just in the hallway, two chairs. Looking at the door, and a doctor comes through the door, and his head is down like this, in his green outfit. And he comes over and he says, "Your little boy didn't make it. Didn't make it." He said, "Mr. and Mrs. Smucker, we did everything we could, but your little boy didn't make it." So we drove home that night, and somebody took us home, and we got to the house, and the man whose truck our little boy ran out in front of was still sitting there in his truck crying like a baby. And we felt a whisper from God, said, "Go over, talk to him, and pray for him." And we did. We did. Told him we don't hold him responsible. And we prayed with him. And then we lost track. And about 6 years ago, a young man comes up to me in church. And he says, "Did you have a little boy that died some years ago?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "I think my dad was the one that hit him." I said, "Really?" I said, "How's your dad?" He said, "He's an alcoholic and he's been for years." He said, "You think it's because of that?" He said, "I don't know. But this young man would have been the same age as our boy was." So the man that hit our boy had a boy the same age, who is now grown up, coming to our church with his wife and his two boys. And so it's a long story, but they had a baby dedication for one of their boys, and I saw this guy sitting there, and I'm thinking, that's him. That is him. So I tried to get to him, but he left, and we invited him over for dinner. He and his wife came to dinner, and we had an opportunity to pray with him and tell him that we've never held that against him. He ended up in the hospital. One of my pastors went in and led him to the Lord. Yeah. Yeah. Yep. He doesn't come to church regular, but every once in a while I see him there in church. Whispers in dark places. You know, when God says, "Go," we heard that whisper. Go talk to him and pray with him. You know, if we get our eyes off of our own selves and our own situations, God can use us in mighty ways. I'll say this yet. My father died in 1990, a very young age, 69. My mom died 2 years later at the age 66. Both of them had cancer. Both of them were believers. We prayed, we anointed with oil, but they died. So getting close, I could tell it was getting close for my mom to die. And I thought, I was just one morning venting to God. I said, "God, I'm a pastor. I preach on healing. My mom's a good woman. She believes your word. And she's dying. I don't get it." It's just how, you know, God doesn't mind if you talk to him like that. And I was venting. And so I go to visit her that day, and she tells me to come over to her bed, and I could tell, you know, it's just a couple days unless something happens. And she says, "Sam, will you promise me something?" And I said, "What?" She said, "Will you preach the word of God?" I said, "Yeah, about healing, even if I die." I said, "Okay, Mom." God spoke through her to me that day. I'll never forget it. And it just spoke to me this: regardless of what we experience in life, if it's different than what the Word of God says, we always have to believe the Word of God. Regardless, regardless of what friends or church members go through, and the Word of God says something different, the Word of God is still the truth, and we have to preach it. And it doesn't matter. We love people. We help them. We do what we can. But the Word of God is still the truth.
Amen?
Amen. And So God wants to talk to his people today. Time is almost up. I could keep on going, but I want to be sensitive to your hungry stomachs. I hope you got something out of that today. My whole point was understanding that the Spirit of God lives in here to put us on the best pathway of our life. And that he will speak to us regardless of what we're going through, if we lean into him, and if we're hungry for him, he will speak to us, and he will put us on the best pathway for our life, and great things. He will use us to do great things in life. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Let's all stand as we pray. Father, I thank you this morning. Thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who lives in our spirit. Lord, my prayer is that you would enlarge our capacity to hear you. My prayer is that you would do something fresh in our hearts to have a desire to hear you. Wake us up. Lord, we don't just want to go through the motions in life. We want to fulfill our purpose in you. Thank you, Father. Lord, I pray for this church. I thank you for Abounding Grace Christian Church. I thank you. Lord, I know the church is not the building. The church is these people right here. And I know you're doing great things to this church. And I also know that you have great things in store for this church. I pray for Jay and Pam. I pray in the name of Jesus. Thank you for their faithfulness for 19 years. Lord, I thank you for the call of God in their lives. I thank you for the anointing of the Holy Ghost, filling them afresh and anew. I pray that you would give them stamina. I pray that you would give them strength like we were singing about today. Lord, I pray that you would empower them to lead this church. Lord, give them wisdom at every turn. Lord, I pray that they would heed your whispers. And they would be alert and lean into you as the leaders of this congregation. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Lord, I thank you for this congregation. I thank you for the giftings and callings that you have put in each one. Lord, you've called them here today, called them here to this church to fulfill the mission, the vision that you've put here. And I pray, Lord, that each one would own that and that this vision would be owned by this congregation and not only the pastor and the leaders, but that the whole congregation would say, yes, speak to me, Lord. What is my part? In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Cheryl's going to come and sing a song. It's called Compassion. And band, if you'd help her, that'd be awesome. And so I just want you to receive this song, and then I just want to pray again before we close.
As we read about Jesus' ministry as he walked the earth many times, he was moved with compassion. And you know, we are the body of Christ right now walking the earth. And God can minister through us with compassion as we preach and teach the word of faith, what belongs to us. Therefore,
Any of you this morning need healing in your body? Would you just slip up your hand right where you're standing? If you need healing in your body, just slip up your hand. Now, everybody, just keep your hand up. Everybody else, look around. Just go to that person and lay your hands on them. Because we're all believers. We can all pray for people. I want everyone that has a hand up, others laying hands on them. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that it's by your stripes that we were healed. Himself took our infirmities and bore our sicknesses on the cross so that we don't have to bear them anymore. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that your word brings health to all of our flesh. Thank you, Father, that it's by your stripes that we're healed and we speak healing and agree with these individuals that your healing power and anointing is flowing into them now, making them whole in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Amen. Amen. Now, I want to encourage you today, if you're hearing a whisper from God and you haven't ever stepped out into it, take a step. Take a step toward it. You know, our purpose is fulfilled a step at a time. And one more thing, if you just bow your heads for a moment, is there anyone here this morning that would say, Pastor Sam, I've never given my life to Christ? Maybe you heard that whisper, surrender your life to me, like I heard many years ago. It was just a whisper that stayed with me for 6 years. Surrender your life to me. Don't fight it like I did. Is there anyone that would say, Pastor Sam, I want to give my life to Christ today, or I need to rededicate my life to Him? Would you just slip up your hand right where you're standing? I'd like to pray with you. If there's anyone in the room that would say, Pastor Sam, that's me, pray for me. I want to give my life to Christ, or I want to rededicate my life to Him today. All right. Father, thank you again for this wonderful congregation. Thank you for using them in a mighty way. In Jesus' name, amen.